When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Damn, you got a fat ass. But enough about that big old butt of yours. This is comedian Mike Rainey from Porchfest 2024, and my homeboy Alan Aldridge was gracious enough to let me speak to you for a moment about my new Wicker crime novel. That's right, you heard me. New Wicker crime novel that is guaranteed to be the funniest, most fucked up thing you read all summer. The story revolves around two lovable losers named Fats and Tommy, whose lives revolve around getting fucked up, sucking fat tits, and the 2 months out of the year where they get to work at Halloween Adventure. Unfortunately, on their last day of work, they are erroneously accused of their boss's murder and have to spend the rest of the night running across town trying to fraudulently cash a check, which will give them the funds to get out of Delco or will put them in jail for the rest of their lives. This book has something for everybody. It has murder. It has stolen ATV chases. It has drug abuse. It has schizophrenic maniacs who live behind 7-Eleven smearing shit in the faces of crooked cops. It has obese Arby's managers getting their asses eaten at the end of a long shift. I promise you, if you are a degenerate like I am, you will love this book. That's Delco Dirtball, available now at onperks.com, which is onperks.com. Get ready for Porch Talk.
Kind of an experience, man.
Well, I guess I'm gonna have my first land shark on Porch Talk.
Very cool. Forever, I guess. You know, and man, shout out to him. I hope he's having all the cheeseburgers in paradise.
God bless Jimmy Buffett, man. Jimmy Buffett was great.
Yeah, I remember being a kid and in the summer times riding out to the river with my dad, and we were going to ride Sea-Doos or jet skis. It took me forever to learn the difference between the two, because I would always go back to school or hanging out with my friends, and I was like, we were riding jet skis this weekend. And they were like, you were probably riding a Sea-Doo. What's the difference? A jet ski, you're standing, and a Sea-Doo, you're sitting.
Oh. Learn something new every day.
Yeah, I mean, do you really need to be that pretentious?
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, my goodness, dude, if I'm riding a motorcycle, I'm not gonna, like, I'm on a motorcycle. I mean, Harley, Indian, whatever, dude.
but hold on. If you're riding one of those three-wheel thing, like a Polaris, that's what they're called. It's got the two wheels in the front, one in the back.
The trikes?
Yeah, that's not a motorcycle.
What do you classify that as in? Just a trike?
I guess it would be a trike, but it's not a fucking motorcycle. Like, I hate those fucking people that, like, they wear the leather vest and they're like, oh, go to Harley meets and shit. And it's like, dude, no, you're, that's not a bike. Now, if you're super old, like, if you're older, you can't keep your balance anymore, fine. I'll give you a fucking pass. But if you're, like, our age and you're riding one of them fucking things and you think you're, like, a cool biker, go fuck yourself.
Man, you're, you know, we just had Little Sturgis this past weekend. And every year, for, I have no idea why, but Starkville, maybe because it's the next town you pass through to get to Little Sturgis.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, probably. I wonder if they do the same thing in Louisville because it's south of Sturgis, but neither here nor there. They'll stop and ride through downtown on Main Street. And, you know, it'll be state trooper bikes, your traditional bikes that you would consider a biker, and then a whole lot of trikes. Yeah, and I don't want to crap on that community. I think all is fair with it, but I think, you know, like you said, if you're older and it's a balance issue, or, you know, maybe you would say if you're our age, you're a bit of a PUSSY.
Yeah.
But if you're there to have a good time and you're doing your best to mingle, I mean, you're just one wheel away.
Here's the thing. If you're just chilling, let's say it with anything. If you're just chilling, it's fine. It's the people that go above and beyond where they're like, oh, yeah, I'm a biker. I'm part of the group. And I was like, no, you're not. You know.
So you would consider them to be more of a roadie, would you?
I don't know what, but it's kind of, it's like being a poser. It's like the people that always have to talk about it. So it's like the people that are like, I'm so punk rock. I'm so punk rock. It's like, are you? Because you're having to say it a lot. People should just, you know.
Well, it's one of two things, man. Yeah. If you have to repeat the thing over and over, it's probably a little suspicious, and you're probably not. You're probably trying to pass that on. But also, in this day and age, people do take parts of themselves and make it their entire personality or identity.
Right.
Usually it's sexual orientation, which is...
Or politics. You know.
Politics, yeah, very true. Or even what sport team they like.
Yeah.
They will do that. Very strange thing. Like, and it's been a point made for years now. I'm not new to this, but if you have what team that you pull for in your social media bio, I'm probably not going to have a whole lot to say to you.
Yeah, because you're very one note. It's like, you know, don't get me wrong, I love sports too, but like, it's not like my whole, you know, thing. I don't get the people that get the, like, you ever talk with somebody who's like a real big fan, and like, I can only think of baseball, but like the people are like, oh, do you know the fucking third baseman for the San Diego Padres? It's like, why would I? Like, why do you know that? That's such a weird, like, I don't get the people that know all the names. Like, you know, because you'll have conversations. It's like, yeah, I kind of have a rough idea of how a team's going. But people be like, well, this outfielder and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, how do you remember all this shit?
I do know people like that. And I mean, they're truly obsessed. And what it is, I think, and I could be wrong, but... They ingest a lot of ESPN, a lot of sport podcasts, and they are probably also addicted to online betting, and that is why they know all that.
Listen, I'm a degenerate online gambler, and I don't know that, so I don't know.
Now, one thing I will say, just being from the great state of Alabama, it is not uncommon for me after... two or three Saturdays that I will know the entire first, second, and third string of Alabama and Auburn. But that, I mean, that's just because I love the culture. I love it. Yeah, and I love it. And it's my state. I'm proud of them. And I'm here for it.
Well, also, two certain players come along and they stick in your head because of, like, you know, like I don't know if I'll ever forget Trent Richardson or Mark Ingram or Derrick Henry or Tua, you know, and it's not necessarily that they did anything great in the NFL, but it's just like, they because of what they did at Alabama and how much that, like, you heard it, like, on sports radio and stuff, like, there's certain names that are just ingrained in your head, you know.
Sure. Sure, absolutely. And, I mean, with teams that I don't particularly favor at all, you know, there might be a skilled player on their team, such as a quarterback or a wide receiver, running back, or maybe even a kicker, that I will begin to make jokes about, because it feels like they've been playing there for an eternity because I am so ready for them to move on.
Right.
Like, I remember I thought that Trevor Lawrence playing at Clemson, I felt like it was never going to end.
Yeah.
Or who was the kicker for Georgia that had the glasses? I think he kicks for the Colts now, if I'm not mistaken.
I know exactly who it is.
But he was so money, and he just pissed me off. And now that he plays for the Colts, I don't mind him. But I minded a whole lot while he was at Georgia.
What do you go for NFL wise?
I don't. If I had to pick a team, it would probably be the Philadelphia Eagles.
See, I'm a huge Eagles fan. I like, back when McNabb was the quarterback, oh man, we were the shit.
Yeah. And you know, before that, and to be honest,
shit, buddy.
Huh?
Fucking cat nearly knocked over my beer.
Yeah. Man, I've always been like just heavy into college. When I was a kid, probably because of those uniforms, but I love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Warren Sapp.
Yeah.
And then I got a little bit older, and I liked the New England Patriots. I was a huge Tom Brady fan. And then around that time, I was beginning to notice that the New England Patriots roster was heavy Alabama, so that made it even easier for me to like. And then... same thing kind of happened with the Philadelphia Eagles, and now they have Jalen Hurts, and it's just fly high, baby. I'm with the Eagles.
Man, Mac Jones did fuck all at the Patriots.
Dude, he got really exposed to be he was a very dirty guy, a very dirty player.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you know, I don't think it's uncommon to be cup checking and, you know, going after private parts, but... That was all I ever heard about that guy.
Oh, all I ever heard that he couldn't fucking make a 15-yard pass. Every time I watched the Patriots, like, shit, Mac Jones just couldn't ever deliver. You know?
Yeah. And here in Starkville, I've noted, and it's not true for everybody, but I would say for the populace, for the most part, they're either a Dallas Cowboy fan because of Dak.
Yeah.
Or they're a Steeler fan, and I'm not sure why Steelers, but if I had to guess,
well, you know, sorry,
it's probably the same reason. Like in Columbus, you're either an Atlanta Brave fan or a Chicago Cub fan, and the reason why they're Cub fans is because of radio and TV.
WGN.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember being a kid. And it's so funny because they would show the reruns of the Cubs game the night before. And my grandmother, she would sit and she'd iron clothes. We'd sit in there with her and talk. Little kids. And she'd always be watching the Cubs. And she'd watch the Cubs until the Braves game come on. Then we'd watch the Braves. And, yeah. But I was always more a Braves fan because, I mean, my grandmother was a Braves fan. Even when the Braves... weren't even in Atlanta. Where were they before? Was it Baltimore or Brooklyn?
The Braves?
Somewhere up north. Yeah, the Braves, like way back, like in the 30s. Like way back in the day.
Don't get me lying. This is new information to me.
Yeah. The Braves moved. Like, they weren't always in Atlanta. They were, like, somewhere up north. I cannot remember where. But, yeah, that's how diehard of a Braves fan my mama is. Is she loved them before they were even in Atlanta, you know?
Yeah, which makes perfect sense, like in the Birmingham area, just because of proximity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they were originally West Virginia before they came down here.
Oh.
You know. So, and also she lived in Brooklyn for a little bit. So maybe it was Brooklyn. Because after World War II, that's where my granddad was stationed. He was at a military, like a naval base in Brooklyn.
You know, for whatever reason, like, Brooklyn Braves just sounds good. I bet that's it.
I bet it is. We could Google, but fuck it. I would rather be wrong.
No, yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, well, leave that to the listener. And by the way, listener, let me break the fourth wall here. Is thank y'all so much for rating and reviewing the show. That helps. Also for subscribing and kind of beginning to get into some of the content that we have on YouTube. So welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and I do have Fire Camino here with me. We did a bit of a cold open there.
Hello.
Yeah, man. So Jimmy Buffett, sports, Atlanta Braves. Man, what's good?
Man, let me tell you about what fresh hell I got into today.
Fresh, okay.
Not to bring the mood down, it's actually a funny story, but fucking, all right, so some of y'all know, because I've mentioned it, but I work at the print press, and we do like scratch and sniffs stickers. Normally it's for like Gain or Downy or like, you know, stuff that smells good. Today we got a job in. It's just like a public service thing to be like, here's what a gas leak smells like.
Oh.
So it's like a safety thing to be like, you know, and send them out in the mail. But yeah, so we have a scent that it smells just like natural gas. And if the listener doesn't know, natural gas smells like rotten eggs.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. It's hellacious. And that's the entire shop smelling like that today. Like, as soon as they put in the scent, it's like, bull. And you can't, and I can't smell worth a shit because of various nasal decongestants. But but I could smell that. And, like, to the point where it, like, gave me a headache. I've had, like, a headache all day, like, just smelling farts pretty much.
And I don't know if you would know, how long does a run like that typically last?
Oh, it'll be, so it was all day today. Well, I say all day. It got on at about 10 o'clock. And it'll be all day tomorrow and it'll be done. But just because it's done, like, I don't know how long that smell's going to dissipate.
True that. You know?
So that's what I'm dealing with.
I used to... The job that I had before I came over here and gotten utilities was I was working with electric motors, and so a big part of our job we were a small business mom and pop electric shop, and you know, servo motors, AC motors, DC motors, pump motors, and a lot of your pump motors, guess what they pump.
I don't know what.
Shit.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so, man, like, I was one of the younger guys in the shop at the time. And so I would go out on these service calls. And we would be going out to these, you know, to different cities, like, you know, maybe Tupelo or maybe Starkville, just in the North Mississippi area, and going out there to... get a phone call, hey, our sump pump, whatever, broke.
Yeah.
Need y'all to come out, pull it, take a look, if it needs to go back to the shop. And, buddy, let me tell you, like, that is, you can wear gloves. You can put on, you know, the white jumpsuit like you would for painting or any hazardous material. You can wear goggles, you can wear a respirator, but there is just something about knowing that you were working in or around human feces that even when the job is done and you're either going,
you always feel gross,
dude. Yes, even like going to lunch, if it happened before lunch, I wasn't gonna eat. Well, and there was
a job cleaning hospital rooms at UAB. Ugh. And like, you never felt clean ever. Like, it was just, ugh.
Yeah, so shout out to those sanitation workers, man, but I just,
God bless them.
Yeah, like, what a calling, you know.
You know, because, well, and it doesn't pay great. Like, I've been a garbage man and I've cleaned out hospital rooms, and both of those jobs don't pay great, and they really should. because, like, come on. Nobody wants to do that.
I guess sanitation is treated a little bit different over here in this area, dude, because our garbage, man, they make pretty well.
Yeah, no, I made nothing when I was garbage.
Yeah.
I made decent when I cleaned hospital rooms, but, man, you saw some shit. Like, there'd be times, like, especially, like, operating rooms. Like, you'd go in, and there'd be, like, blood on the ceiling, and you're like, did you kill him? Like, what happened in here? You know? Like, you look at the splatters, and you're like, I don't even know how that makes sense.
Oh, you dude. Know? So, when I turned 15, I got my driving permit, and my grandfather told me, you're old enough to drive, you're old enough to work, and he already had fixed me up with my first job out on the farm.
Yeah.
And that was the summer. I was driving fence posts and putting up fencing all summer. And after that, he had already lined me up with another job. I went and worked at the local Piggly Wiggly. And while I was working there, I was a cashier / bag boy / stock. I mean, small town grocery store, you pretty much did everything.
Right.
And the owner of the local truck stop came up to me one day, and he offered me a job. And so I took it. And I remember, like, I was a cashier there, and it was attached to a restaurant. So not only was it a truck stop to where, you know, your forestry guys, like your logging companies, they would come in early in the mornings and fuel up, whether they needed diesel or off-road diesel, whatever. And, you know, truckers and people in that field, for whatever reason, dude, they can blow up a bathroom.
No, it's, but here's the thing. The gas station is to blame. Because you know this. Like, you eat a couple of them tornadoes and some of those gas station hot dogs and some of the stuff they'd be selling, you do the same thing.
Okay, sure. And I remember I worked at that gas station for I started working there when I was a junior in high school, and I think I worked there a year after I had graduated before I moved over to Tuscaloosa for a time. But the last year that I had worked there, the guy that owned it had seen just so much horrific things go down in those bathrooms, and he was very proud of this, and it was something to behold. But he ordered this toilet, and he came to me one day with a 12-pack of cheap golf balls. And he said, I want you to come with me and bring the golf balls. And I was like, cool, we're about to go out into the lot, and we're just about to just start rocking golf balls, right?
Right.
No, dude, we went to the bathroom, and this toilet is called the Gladiator, and the company I bought it from said that it can flush 12 golf balls, so we're about to test it. And I was, you want me to put 12 golf balls in this toilet and flush it? Yes. Okay, whatever. Yeah, sure. It could, but that did not fix and the things that happened on the wall, the backsplash of the toilet, the floor, that did not alleviate the problem.
You know what blows my mind in gas station bathrooms?
What's that?
Like, I don't know about you, but every time I shit, I sit on the toilet. How does it get outside of that little range? Like, I've stopped in truck stops before. Like, I'll be in, like, Verbena, Alabama, and it's, like, fucking... Like, you don't even get near, like, where... Like, I don't understand the physics of it. That's what upsets me, of where I can't make it make sense in my head, of where I'm like, how did that fecal matter get to there?
Well, Josh, like here's how it goes down. People don't sit on public toilets. They stand over them.
Fair enough. Also, real quick, Landshark, not that bad of a beer.
Not a bad beer at all.
No, but back to the story at hand. Why?
Why?
I just sit on a toilet, yeah.
There's a lot of reasons why you don't sit on public toilets.
I've raw dog toilets my whole life, and I'm fine.
Okay. Now, I will say, like, public bathrooms, I'm not...
I've raw dogged a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have in life, but I'm fine.
As far as we know. I've done some raw dogging. I've raw dogged airplanes, you know, like hop on an airplane flight, no headphones, nothing, and you're just staring at the back of the seat in front of me. I've done that.
I've never been on an airplane.
Okay. That would drive a lot of people insane, but all you have to do is go back to... What was you doing before smartphones? Like, I was on planes before smartphones. You could bring a book. You could definitely do that. Maybe, I don't know. But looking out the window only gets you so far, because eventually, like, all you see is pretty much nothing because you're in the clouds. And I don't know. Just, I can't sleep on a plane. I did get upgraded. Like, the emergency exit seat on a plane is about the only seat on a plane to where I have enough leg room to where I'm actually comfortable. I went on I think 11-hour flight from Houston down to Santiago, Chile, and I took Dramamine an absurd amount, and it was a group of probably about 12 of us, and I looked around the plane, and everyone I knew was passed out, and of course, I can't sleep, and I had done taken so much Dramamine, it had the opposite effect, and I was wired.
Oh, no.
I was wired, and everybody at this point, they're dead asleep, and you know what? I may have prayed to God for turbulence. And maybe he did give us an hour and a half worth of turbulence, and it did wake everybody else. And I was like, at least I'm not alone anymore.
Right.
But, no, dude. But I have raw dog bathrooms. Typically, my move is I'll take some toilet paper and wipe it down. And if I still don't trust it, I might, you know, like, sometimes you go to the service station bathroom, and you'll have, like, the little paper outline of what a toilet seat might be.
Yeah,
I've used those before. Typically, they don't work. But I've definitely raw. I think the big fear is probably crabs or whatever else kind of parasite that you could pick up from.
But crabs really ain't that bad. You use some shampoo, it ain't the end of the world. It happens.
It's a great time to plug our sponsor.
Manscaped.
Manscaped. 20% off using promo code Porch Talk. The lawnmower, I think we're at the 4.0 now with you downstairs, and my goodness, no nicks. You can use it in the shower. Comes with an LED light. The beard trimmer, dude, you ought to see all the comments on the YouTube videos. I mean, all people say is this is trash content, but you have a great beard. So Manscaped. Promo code Porch Talk, one word. Porch Talk, all one word. Get 20% off. Get some ball deodorant. Get in the game.
See, listen. Everyone always compliments Alan on his beard, but little do you know, Alan, because with the Manscaped trimmer, you can trim anywhere. Alan has the smoothest asshole in all of Mississippi.
You know, it's our...
to the Manscaped trimmer.
Yeah. And did we just do an episode on Tuesday about a bargain bin butt plug? We did. My buddy Webb, who was on the cast Tuesday, he frequents like the bargain hunts, dirt cheaps, stores like that, right?
Yeah.
And he was just digging through like a pallet of Amazon returns, and he found a set of four unopened butt plugs.
Hey.
And you know what he thought? And he's slick, dude. He's good. He was like, I bet I could flip these. And I was like, you dog, you. You know what I mean?
Listen, all right, hold on. Alan, I know you're a fan of RU Garbage.
It is true.
I got one for you because I've done this.
Okay.
Is it garbage to buy sex toys on eBay?
It most certainly is.
Well, I've done a good bit of it. Oh, man. No, I mean, like, fuck it. Like, here, all right, for those of you who don't know, whenever you go to, like, a sex shop anywhere in the state of Alabama, we have this thing called sin tax. So anything, like, that's why cigarettes, playing cards, sex toys, alcohol even, anything that, like, they consider a sin, they can add an extra fucking tax to.
It's true.
So, if you want to avoid sin tax, and here's the thing, forget your morals. Like, I mean, they're important, but, like, as an American, I hate paying my taxes. So, to get around that system, you can go on eBay, and you can buy fucking stuff off eBay, and you don't have to pay all that fucking crazy tax. Because what you would pay for, like, literally certain things that you would have, like Callie's Love stuff, that would be, like, $30, $45 you can get for $15 on eBay.
Brother, I never...
I'm not going to get too specifics, but, you know.
Yeah, I never thought that we would be given advice on how to order such things, but here we are.
How to order such things without paying the taxes. The taxes is the big toy.
Oh, man, that's good. Oh, dude, I don't know. It's conversations that you and I have had over the past few days. It's kind of been building up to a point that I think we've made time and time again, and, you know, I don't know, maybe somebody out there needed to hear it, so I did want to bring this up, is, and I'll start with a point, and then we can kind of unload it, is whatever problem that you're dealing with now, whether it's within a relationship, maybe it's your work, maybe within your family, maybe you think you're the loneliest person on the planet. Whatever your issue is, it's temporary, and although it may seem like an eternity and that it's never going to stop, unaliving yourself, committing suicide, however you want to put that, that is a permanent solution to a temporary problem, and that is never the answer.
No.
And so,
it completely changed. Like, that's the thing, is where it's like, if shit seems bad now, like, think of where you were 5 years ago. Think about your ideas, your opinions, your beliefs. They're probably completely fucking different to what you feel and have in your mind now today.
Yeah.
And then if you can't picture the next 5 years, like, it's going to be completely different. Like, yeah, I am me right now, and what I do is what I do, but that's not going to always be the case.
Dude.
Like, I will change.
Since you and I met, I think you have gone through 4 different jobs.
Yeah.
And, like, your relationship status has changed multiple times. And, like, you've gone through a lot of changes. And, like, I'm just using, like, you as an example, keeping it vague, but, like, I've seen you, like, go through a lot of change over the past couple of years that we've known each other. And I mean,
I am consistently inconsistent, but seldom am I a hypocrite.
And yeah, man, what you were saying earlier is, I mean, it really reminds me of the old Mitch Hedberg joke, is going in for a job interview or going in for insurance, and the person asks you, well, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Celebrating the 5th year anniversary of you asking me this question.
Yeah.
And, you know, as funny as that is, and it may be true, maybe, like, you have a lot of stability, but, I mean, things can turn on a dime.
Right.
So, like, whatever it is, it's not the end of the world.
Well, not to get all religious, but everything happens for a reason. And I really do believe God has a plan for each and every one of us. You know, and, like, it may make no sense, because I know I've had that, you know, in my life, of where I'm like, God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Where are we going? You know. But it's always worked out. You know, it may have taken a minute.
Yeah.
But it's always worked out.
Man, I've had moments like that. I remember, like, I was going through a lot of hardship when I was, before I left the coast. I had, anything and everything that I could imagine that could possibly go wrong is, my grandfather, who was my hero, passed while I was down there, and that was tough, and I was dealing with that down there for 2 or 3 years, because he passed, my grandmother, she never took it well, and she was in terrible health, going downhill, and I was still down in Mobile, and my dad's health wasn't good, and, like, I'm 4.5-5 hours away from my family, and just one day had to realize I was working two jobs. I was working an 8-to-5, and then I would work from 9 to 2 in the morning, and I was doing that Monday through Friday. And just to make it, and, like, it was one Saturday or Sunday morning, and I woke up, and I was, what the hell am I doing? Why am I fighting so hard to stay down here and to live like this when I could just go back to North Alabama? And I could help my grandmother and my father, and I could be with them. I could be surrounded by my family and those who love and know me, rather than sit down here and just...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Feel isolated and lonely, and, like, sabotaging mental health and physical health and everything else, where I could be somewhere where I could flourish and I could begin to put my life back together. And thank God for that realization, you know, because I came back up and I was able to be with my grandmother the last 2-3 years that she would be on earth. I was with my father the last 5 years that he would be on earth, and, like, those are some of the memories that I cherish, and I'm glad I made that decision. I'm glad I wasn't hard-headed. I mean, because God only knows what would have happened if I would have just stayed down there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing, too, where, like, people go, oh, I'm stuck, I'm this, I'm, you know. if I can give any advice, embrace discomfort. You know, it's not easy moving back home. It sucks because you go, oh, like, you know, what am I doing? Why am I back here? Or like, you know, like if you try to move to a new place or like, or if you're so sick of your job, you start a new career, like, there's going to be discomfort. But if you embrace discomfort, you will have a better life. If you can learn how to embrace, like, you know, the weirdness and the fucked upness of where it's like, all right, well, I got to change my P.O. box, and I guess I'm going to hang out here now instead of where I normally do, and I got to, you know, friends keep different schedules, and I'm in a completely different time zone, whatever. Like, just embrace the discomfort.
Yeah. I just had a friend of mine on the coast who I met while I was down there Saturday. And the time that I met him, he was still serving in the Navy. And he was on his way out. He had a couple years left on his contract. And he was a sport fanatic. He loved the UFC. And, like, you know, when he wasn't doing whatever he had to do within the Navy. I know there were spurts of time to where he was just gone, and I didn't really understand what he was doing. And then he would be back, and we would hang out. But when he's cleared, and he's not in the Navy anymore. He's not, and he's, you know, he's a citizen again, whatever. And he's always been passionate about stand up comedy, and so he's been going to these open mics, and he's been trying it out. And he said exactly what you said, and I think it's a pretty good segue to wherever we might go next. But he said exactly what you said. I am learning to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, because eventually I'll be able to thrive in that.
Well, Alan, speaking of uncomfortable and speaking of uncomfortable conversations, I want to confront you.
Okay.
You've been flirting with stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I think you're a great fucking storyteller, and I think you can fucking do it, and I want to see you do it.
I gotta give it a shot, I guess. You know, and that's the thing about it. I know Jared, my buddy I was telling you about, he drove from over Baldwin County, across the Bay Bridge, over into Mobile just to do it. And I mean, that is typically what I'll have to do. I'll have to drive to Tuscaloosa, or I'll have to go to Hattiesburg, because there's no comedy around here. Not saying that as an excuse, but that's how bad I'll have to want it. I'll have to drive 2 hours just to go be able to try.
Right. Well, that's a little discouraging too, you know, because it's like, oh, fuck. But you gotta.
But at the same time, you know, like, I do know, like, over in Tuscaloosa at Druid City Brewing, and I think they do it at the other brewery. I think they do it at Black Warrior too. I think that's predominantly where they do it, at Black Warrior. But if I did it down in Hattiesburg, you know what would be beautiful about that?
What?
I don't really know anybody. I could be whoever I wanted to be. Does that make sense?
No, 100%. Because I've done open mics like out of state, and I'm like, if I bomb here, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I don't. I never have to come back.
Right.
Yeah, I don't even have to go. I don't even have to go by my name. I could be anybody.
Exactly.
I could be the peanut butter falcon.
You could come. You could be shirtless and tie an American flag around your back and call yourself fire. You know, no one would know.
Right.
But no, I mean, that's kind of the, like, beauty of open mics and stuff, where it's like, there are certain open mics where, like, really good people go to. But, like, your typical open mic, like, yeah, you can go and be shit because everybody else on the bill is shit.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I do and I don't miss about the Nick, of where the Knicks, their open mic's gotten to the point, and I think your open mic has got to the point, but where, like, you can't come with bullshit anymore. You know? Like, I miss going to an open mic where you can come with absolute, like, the open mics that used to happen at Revelator Coffee. Like, you could come with some bullshit, and it was fine, because everybody else, you know, we're figuring it out. But, like, I don't think that makes a good open mic, but it is, it's relieving to know, because, like, when the guy that goes before you bombs, you go, well, I just have to be better than that fuck. And normally you can't, you know?
Yeah. Mine is getting to that point, and I noticed it from this past open mic that we did, was, and so I had already had it set up inside, and I was very democratic about it, and we had a lot of new faces, and I was, for those of you playing tonight, would you like to play on the outside stage, where I'll have to haul all this equipment out and reset a stage, or would you like to sit in here in the air conditioning where I already have it set and we can begin? And I was, raise your hand if you want to go play outside. And, dude, literally all but one raised their hand. And I was like, I clearly am the only person who works outside. Okay, so let me tell you how this is going to work. You're carrying in all this. Like, I'm going to start unhooking, and I'm going to start giving you things, and I want you to just start migrating it out to that stage.
And why don't you do that anyway?
Yeah. And by the time we got everything started, it was right at 7, and I got up there, and I did a little monologue, because I had made some promises so the guy that I wanted to come, I was supposed to pick him up from a bus in Tupelo. He was coming from Atlanta, and he missed his bus. And the following day, he caught another bus from Atlanta to Tupelo. He fell asleep and woke up in Memphis.
Oh, shit.
And hit me up. You're going to be able to pick him up in Memphis. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Like, that's a completely different place.
Like, that's twice as far, and that is not what we agreed to. That is not going to happen. And I was like, for this to be his first time in this country, no offense to the guy, is he an idiot? Like,
well, also, no. I mean, the more important, like, here's the more egregious thing. Who the fuck falls asleep on a Greyhound bus?
Right, that's dangerous.
Yeah, I don't know about you. I keep a knife on me, and you fucking jangle that shit in your hoodie pocket, and you just hope you get to the, you know, location. You're not fucking, who sleeps on a Greyhound?
That's
brave. That's balls.
That's what I told the guy. I was like, you're either an idiot or the bravest person I ever met.
Also, a Greyhound bus to Memphis.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, man. So anyway, he didn't make it, and there was a Columbus local who had just flown back home from Tokyo, Japan.
Yeah,
and a dear friend of mine who lives in Starkville that I've been going over to his house, and we've been playing a lot of music and hanging out, and it's working to a point to where, like, and he hasn't played anywhere live in 12 years. It's working so well for us that he's considering, if you asked me to, I would play, but I haven't done this in 12 years. Just keep that in mind. And I was like, dude, come play with me.
Right.
So, the guy from Tokyo, he didn't make it. Obviously, I don't know how long he's around, but I bet he has a lot of visits because he hasn't been home in a while. And then I had another guy who had promised to make cupcakes, and we were going to sell those cupcakes, and that was going to start building up to the Porch Fest fund. Just a little bit of something, and my cupcake guy fell through, my bus guy fell through, the Tokyo guy, I really wasn't expecting him, but that didn't happen either.
We got to get my mom to make some cookies.
your mom does make some great cookies. But I say all that to say this, and so when I got up on stage a little after 7, and I was, I don't know if any of y'all are aware, I was posting about it, I was sharing about this open mic, I was really fired up about, you know, we were going to have some worldly talent tonight.
Right.
And I was like, unfortunately, my buddy, he took a Greyhound bus from Atlanta, Georgia to Tupelo. He somehow wound up in Memphis. I'm not sure if he's alive. So he's not here. And our good buddy, our local friend from Tupelo, that flew in from Tokyo. I'm not sure where he's at, but he's probably wherever he needs to be. And as far as cupcakes go, just get you some pizza. Let's roll on. And I played one song, and like to give you an idea about the open mic is a lot of the locals that showed up that night that typically play, they got there a little late, and the sign-up sheet was full.
Oh, shit.
And a lot of people who signed up and who have played the open mic in the past, I had to cut them off. Like, when they hit 3 songs or they hit 15 minutes, I was like, you're up, you're done. And they were like, you know, kind of looked at it like, really? And I was like, look at the sign-up sheet. We will never get through. We'll be here till midnight if we don't keep things moving.
Well, I mean, that happens at the Nick all the time. Where, like, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the Nick and then immediately turned around and went home because, like, sign-up sheet's full.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude, Dave's Dark Horse here in Starkville, they have a great open mic. I haven't been in a while. It used to be a cover. And so when you walk into Dave's on the open mic nights, they have the door guy. And, you know, if there's room on the sign-up sheet, you sign up. And you Backstage Music, the greatest music store in the Golden Triangle, you get a pack of free strings for coming and playing at the open mic from Backstage, and then you get a free beer and a slice of pizza from Dave's, and you don't have to pay the $5 cover to get in.
All go down.
But
speaking of which, that Backstage Music is great. I've went there once.
Yeah, that place rules. But once again, if you don't get there and that sign-up sheet is full, you can walk in with your guitar case and the sign-up sheet's full, and you're about to pay $5 to watch everybody else play, and you're just going to have to sit there and take it. You know, because that's just the way it is.
Yeah. Same at the Nick, but they won't charge you the cover, those.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's for everybody. I shouldn't say that. Yeah, pay the cover. But yeah, no, I mean, like that, you know, when an open mic becomes popular enough, then yeah, no, it's.
And I know that, and I'd like to ask you this, because I've talked to my local guys about it, and they've asked me time and time again, is it's time to stop doing it bi-weekly. I think we're at a point to where we can do it weekly now.
And well, if you're filling out sheets and turning people away, then yes.
Okay, but here's the other thing is the reason why it was every 2 weeks is because it meant more. Like it only comes twice a month, every first and third Thursday. And if we're doing it every week, it kind of takes the allure. And if we begin to do it every week, like, who's to say people don't start burning out and then we have to go right back to doing it every 2 weeks? You know what I mean?
I disagree. But I'll warn you of what is to come. Every week is good because that's how the Nick does it. That's how Little Italy did it. That's how fucking Ferris does it. Like, everywhere in Birmingham does. But Birmingham's a lot bigger population than Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
A lot fucking more. That being said, you will have nights where there are so many fucking people there and people are going to be turned away, and like, that's just the nature of it. Even me, who kind of has some swing, it's like, no, you're not playing tonight. And that's fine, you know. But you will also have nights where it's like, hey, can you do like 45 minutes? You know, because nobody's there. So, like, you will have great nights where, like, you could not fit another person in Munson. There are so many people there, you could not fit another person in Munson. And then you will have some nights where it will be you and 10 other people, and the only 10 people that are there are people who are playing.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of it.
I think, and we'll play it by ear, but I think I may try to ride out the rest of this year, because we're coming up on winter, and people typically don't get out as much during that time. And so
I have a strategy, but I'll tell you off air.
Okay, and so what I may do, like, because I would love to have it every Thursday. It gives consistency, and now that we have like younger people, like. I mean, hell, you've seen it. Like, typically at the open mic, it's a lot of veterans. It's a lot of people who already play.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are coming out and playing just because I asked them to. Like, they probably could be, they could be doing literally anything. They could be hanging out with their family. The hell, they probably could have been at a band practice. They could have been doing anything else. But it was like, yeah, come out and fellowship and I'll buy you a pizza. Just come play. Whatever.
Well, it's like, you know, like when I came down there, like I came down there because you welcomed me. You
yeah.
know what I mean? You were like, hey, you know.
Well, yeah, I want to do that. I mean, I think that's that is one thing with it being every 2 weeks. That's something that I always try to do is, and it doesn't always work, but I try to invite a special guest from out of town to come and like kind of be the feature of the night.
Yeah.
Because I think that kind of gives, like, more to maybe the audience.
Well, how many times have we said it where I'm, like, talking about the people that come to the open mic at the Nick, whether it be Ham Bagby or Early James or me or Zach Austin or, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, man, we are 53 minutes in, my friend.
And I have so much more shit to talk about.
well, come on with it. Come on, what you want to talk?
All right. Fucking, no. Well, make your point, then I'll go with.
Oh, I guess, like, my point is I don't want to start, I don't want to commit to doing it every week and then it fall apart and then I have to go back to doing it every 2 weeks again.
But fuck it, even if it does, you're already doing it every 2 weeks anyway, so you can just treat it as like, well, we tried it and it didn't work, but we didn't lose what we originally had.
Fair enough.
You know, trial and error. Embrace discomfort, like I said earlier.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't really be discomfort on my end. It would just possibly be there would be some evenings to where I have to play 2 hours.
Right. Or maybe invite more out-of-town guests.
Yeah.
Maybe get me back to Columbus. I don't know.
All right. Fair enough. What do you want to talk about?
I really appreciate you having me on the pod, but funny enough, this is the second pod I've been on this week.
Oh, here we are. Oh, if another podcast is trying to steal my esteemed guest, I'm about to go to war.
Well, you better bring some heavy artillery, because I'm kind of swayed.
Oh, my gosh.
It'll probably be sometime next week, but I was on the Doug Stanhope podcast.
What?
Yeah.
That's huge, dude.
Yeah, that's fucking, so goodbye Porch Talk, that's been great, this is the last time, no, I'm joking, but,
by the way, guys, he was messing with me, I think yesterday or the day before, he's like, by the way, I was on Dad Meat, and I was like, you were not on my favorite podcast.
Yeah, I was on Joe Rogan. But I was on the fucking Stanhope podcast. I got a fucking call out of nowhere, and it was Stanhope. And I was only on there for probably like 5-10 minutes. But it's fucking cool as shit. I was really proud to be on.
Well, he's your favorite comic, right?
I love Stanhope. I love Stanhope. No, I don't know if I'd even say he's my favorite, which is crazy because I love him to death, like as a person. But I don't know. Like, if I had to think favorite comic, like either Pryor or Tell.
You like David Tell, do you?
I love David Tell. But Stanhope's been so fucking cool. And we've talked back and forth, you know, emailing shit. And funny enough, fans of mine have probably seen me, like, I will wear those stupid-ass suits. And the whole reason being is I'm ripping off Stanhope. But I feel like it's fair because every time I play a show and I'm wearing a dumb suit, I mail that suit to Stanhope. So, you know, I don't feel that bad about it because he gets the suits in the end.
Well, very cool, dude. Like, tell me about the experience. Like, so he called you in?
Yeah, it was just like I got a call from private. Every time I ever get a call from Stanhope, it's always like a private number or fucking Arizona number. It's always like in the middle of the fucking night. And then like, yeah, I got a call and he's like, "Hey, you're on the air." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." So then we just sat and chopped shit for like 10 minutes, and man, it was fun. So, I wasn't expecting it, but yeah, I was on Doug Stanhope podcast.
Very cool, man. You know, I don't know, like, my favorite comedian, I really couldn't nail that down. I really think the world of Mike Rainey. I've seen his stand-up, obviously. He was at Porch Fest. I've seen that. That may not be the equivalent of seeing him at a Helium in Philadelphia. He was telling jokes to a crowd in a state that he had never been to, and so I can't imagine what that's like. I enjoyed the set. I love his podcast, and I listen to any podcast that he's a guest on just because I find him to be the funniest guy on the planet right now. And I mean, they could change tomorrow, but yeah, dude, that's yeah, and I guess it's kind of the same thing like with you and Doug Stanhope. It's like whenever you know. Whenever I'm thinking about you when it comes to, like, who you really respect when it comes to comedy, it's Stanhope.
Yeah. No, I love Stanhope. Like, it's just like in music. Like, I respect people who are honest. I respect people who are, like, kind of blunt and straightforward and a little fucked up. And, like, you know, like, that's Stanhope. You know?
Yeah, to a T.
But also unbelievably fucking nice and courteous, you know.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because, I mean, that's the thing, too, is, like, people just assume, like, oh, well, you know, famous people, they care about their fans, whatever. It's like, no, let me tell you, I was a roadie for years, and, like, they don't give a fuck, you know. Like, it's sad, but it's true. Like, there's some people that don't give a fuck about their fans.
Which is wild because that's the reason why they're there in the first place.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I've told you this, and I mean, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but it has been interesting. The moment that I got on the, when I got in the Kill Tony, it was right before they started doing all these arenas.
Yeah,
you know, they did the arena in Austin and they did the arena in LA and they
Madison
just
Square and, Yard
yeah, they just did MSG. And I can't tell cuz I don't know. And I don't even know if I should bring it up, but like it just seems like from the time that I jumped on the bandwagon up to now, all I have seen is an ego of a guy get bigger and bigger, but I don't know if that's part of the act or not.
Or is that a bit within itself?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know, like, because one of the things that I hate the most is, like, the banter between him and Red Band. I don't find that funny at all. That's probably a bit. Like, if I had a producer, especially if he was sitting right by my side, the last thing I would do would be dunk on him every single time. You know what I mean?
Well, to be fair, I think he's just ripping off Rogan. Because think about it, when Red Band was what Jamie is now on Rogan, fucking Rogan would riff on Red Band all the time.
Well, dude, his Olive Garden bits back in those early days was, like, the best part about Rogan then.
Right.
I mean... just going on a tirade about Olive Garden. I'm like, I don't know where it came from, but I'm here for it. And then Rogan would get, we're trying to have a serious conversation, and here you are.
Do I fucking around?
Yeah.
No, there was something beautiful about that era of, like, podcasting. You know, which is maybe asinine to say at this point as people who are podcasting, but, like, there was, like, early Rogan. And did you ever listen to any, like, DVD ASA?
Dude, I've never heard of that.
Holy shit. Okay, DVD ASA was the artist David Cho, who was, like, a painter. It was porn star Asa Akira. They had a podcast. And it was awesome. Like, they had a little bit of everybody on there. You know, that's where, like, Bobby Lee got his start.
I thought he got his start after Joe Rogan... came out against Carlos Mencia for stealing Bobby Lee's jokes.
This is, like, fucking years before that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, years. Like, Bobby Lee, I think he was still, like, more like an open micer. And then this, you know. But yeah, Bobby Lee and fucking Everclear was on there. Rogan was on there. Fucking... shit ton of porn stars were on there. Like, it was like, why? It was like the fucking Wild West podcast, because they would, like, there was no holds barred, no limits. Like, it was just, you know, because it was still like a new medium, so they could, it was the Wild West. They could do whatever the fuck they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, DVD ASA is fucking crazy. Like, that's a good one to check out.
Is it still going today, or is it just kind of thing of the past?
No, it got shut down. Because they were, like, wilding the fuck out. So it got shut down.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can still, like, on Internet Archive, you can still find all the old episodes.
Yeah.
Or hell, like, even just David Cho on Joe Rogan's fucking great. David Cho's fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'm not really that familiar with who that is at all.
He's an artist. He's mainly a graffiti artist, and he did the fucking, murals for the fucking offices for Facebook. And they were like, well, either we can pay you or we can give you stock. And he goes, well, fuck it, I'll take the stock.
Good call.
Yeah, and then fucking Facebook blew up, and he made all his fucking money. And, yeah. No, David Cho's fucking great. Yeah, if you haven't looked into him, like, that, you would love David Cho. He had a fucking thing on Vice where he hitchhiked across America. And that was really good.
Huh. I bet, like, if I saw a picture of this guy, I'm probably familiar just because of that Vice thing, because I vaguely remember something about that.
It's called Thumbs Up.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of have a picture of him in my mind now, but that's all I knew him from.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they chose the shit, man. But yeah, DVD ASA. Like, I think, like, that's how every podcast should be. Right? Just be 100% honest, even if it's weird and awkward. Goes back to what I was saying earlier. Embrace discomfort. Weird with it.
I think we try to do our best here.
We definitely do. I mean, fuck, we were talking about how to order sex toys without paying taxes earlier. So I think we're good.
Yeah. I think we hit it off well, dude. Anything else to do, Josh?
I think we're good, man. Just chilling.
All right, man. Man, I can't thank you enough for your time. Thank you for coming on. And if Doug Stanhope steals you from me, I will wage war with a comedian.
But what if we steal Doug Stanhope on the Porch Talk? That's the real one.
There's some magic. All right, brother. Peace right. out.
Good night. God bless. Love you.
No, babe, I'm sorry. No man can give you what you deserve. God must be real. He worked miracles on your body. And I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that he did. Take it slow. Don't you know how lucky I am? How lucky I am. No, babe, don't worry. I swear I'll do the best I can.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.